I don't know how many read the front covers of the bulletins. They've changed over the years. We've had the catechism, the confessions, and more recently, Julie's been putting on the front cover a little synopsis of sort of the theme of the day. And I get so much out of that. That's one of the first things I do is I sit down and I kind of read that. It's like, okay, where are we going with all these readings? And I find it fascinating that today's readings come after last week's, because last week it was so focused on this is what you must do. Change your ways. Stop doing these things. Be nice to widows. Be nice to these people. And then we come to this week's readings, which really boils down to the theme is it's really not at all about what we do. As a matter of fact, God really doesn't have in mind anything in particular that we do. It's really about our heart. I've said it before, it's a heart thing. Our changed hearts will cause us to do these things without even thinking. It will become second nature. We won't need to be reminded, don't do this or do this, because it's just the way we'll act. Indeed, we'll actually go as far as giving up our own selves in order to help others, in order to please God, because that's just our nature. We become more and more Christ-like in our Christian walk. So I looked at the readings today. I couldn't really pick one out because they all just fit together so beautifully. And I started thinking about a news story that was recently in the news. Perhaps some of you read about it. It actually made the front newspapers, at least the major newspapers, about a family that in New Mexico that went out for a walk in the desert. It was a hike. They wanted to get away. And it was a tragic story. It didn't turn out well for them. As you know, in the desert, you need to keep yourself constantly hydrated. And what they did, they had a little bit of water with them. And every time they wanted to take a drink, they would take just a tiny little drink themselves, but they kept telling their son, it's okay, you can take two drinks. That's what we're all taking, two drinks. And in the end, they weren't. They were only taking one. They literally gave their life. They gave up the water that would have saved them in order to help their son's life be spared. He was the only one that survived, and according to the news articles I read, he was remarkably hydrated. He actually fared very well. Of course, he was smaller, and he was getting more water than the rest of them. But I sat back and wondered as I was reading the lessons this week, do you think they thought about that, the parents? They probably knew what was in store by not getting enough water. But I don't think they gave it a second thought. They gave their life up because they loved their son. They loved him and wanted to see him live through the ordeal they were going through. So I started doing a little bit more research on other things like this. I came up with a couple. It's not just parents. Sometimes it's siblings. This is only from just a little while ago down in Australia. A flood came through Australia and swept a family away. Jordan Rice, 13, and his mother, Donna, 43, were swept away as a wall of water hit their hometown on a Monday afternoon. Jordan, the young boy, was not able to swim, and he was terrified. There was also another brother that was swept away as well. But he actually, when the paramedics came to rescue them, he actually said, "Save my brother, the 10-year-old, before saving myself." And I have a feeling Jordan knew there was no way he was going to hang on. If any of you ever felt water rushing over, a current, a stream, a river, anything, it's powerful. You can't, by your own strength, prevent or hold on to something for a long period of time. The current's too swift. But even though the rescuers were able to get to the older brother, he said, "Don't save me first. Save my brother." Do you think he thought about that? You think he weighed the consequences? I don't. I think it was in a part of his nature. And in the end, it was, again, a tragic story. So it's not just parents that do that, it's siblings. And then sometimes people will even go out of their way to die for their fellow countrymen. This is one that I find really fascinating. It's a part of my growing up was when the Chernobyl nuclear disaster happened over in Russia. It was a horrible accident, but many of us don't realize it could have been much, much, much worse. As that reactor was starting to get hot, there was a time when it could have actually melted through and down into a pool of water. And if it would have done that, the reaction would have been multiple times worse than it actually was. I mean, it was a bad disaster as it is. So there's this core that's melting, and it's going to melt through the floor and down into this pool of water, which would make the reaction much worse. Do you realize that there were, as they were evacuating that area, there were three men that volunteered to jump down into that pool and pull the drain so that the water could drain out, and when that core dropped through, that it wouldn't intensify the reaction? And they knew that there was only one way of going in. There was no returning. And they did it to save the lives of thousands, maybe even tens of thousands. And they chose to do it. And again, I'm sitting here asking myself, did they weigh the options? And I think they did it because they knew it was the only thing that could be done. It was instant instinct. They had to go down and save them. You say, what does this have to do with the readings? Well, it's the way God wants us to react towards each other and towards Himself. He doesn't want offerings. It's our offerings we give out of our heart because of the grace and the mercy He's had for us. We shouldn't feel obliged to do it. And I think that's where these different readings come in. Think about Cain, for an instance. Cain killed his brother Abel. What should have been the punishment for that murder? I would think that it would be, as most people would claim, an eye for an eye. Kill him. And God says, no, I'll let you live. Cain says, don't let me live. Everyone's going to try to kill me. No, they won't. I'll put a mark on you. No one will kill you. The great mercy shown for what was probably, as us humans would think, would be deserved. He killed a man. God had mercy on him. Or even in the psalm today, Psalm 50, I've preached on that before, God starts to turn a little bit of a sarcastic mood here. Why would I ask you for bulls? Why would I ask, do I not own everything? I want you to bring a contrite heart. I want you to come, not because you have to, but because you want to. I want the thanksgiving from your lips. I want you to love me for who I am and love your fellow countrymen. Jesus summed it up. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I often wonder, have we reached a point where it's just intuitive? It's a part of our heart to operate in this manner. I'd have to say, as I look in the mirror, I'm not that way yet. I still got a ways to go, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I aim to get there. I like that sarcasm. What could you possibly give me, asks God. It's sort of like, you know, to the man who has everything. What do you buy them? He's got it all. He doesn't need our money. That money is given out of our hearts, or it should be. And He knows exactly what we're capable of giving Him. Our love. That's it. That's what makes us all equal. I was watching, there's a new series out that Julie and I have been catching up on, and it's called Alone. I don't know how many of you have watched it, but they basically take men at this point, but they take them out right to the north part of Vancouver Island, which is up in Canada, and they drop them all off by themselves. And they actually have to film themselves too. There's no one around, and they have to stay in as long as they can. They were allowed to take 10 things with them. And it's interesting to sit and watch these men over the course of many weeks now. You know, they tap out. They have a phone. They can call to tap out, and they're done. They get picked up. And they're trying to see who can stay the longest. And the interesting part is many of you would probably think, well, the most important thing is you've got to get fire, and you got to get food, and you got to have a place to stay. Well, within the first day or two, that was all settled. I'm amazed and intrigued by the psychological changes that are going on, how deep and introspective each of the men are becoming. They've been out there almost a whole month now with nobody to talk to. And they have these cameras on, and you know they just sit there and they realize, the one gentleman says, you know, I've realized we're pretty much all the same. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, you're a figure of perfect physical health or lame. We all breathe the same air. We all walk the same way. It's like we actually are all very much the same. So what differentiates us from the rest of the animals? And I find it intriguing that all four of these men seem to be Christians. They do say prayers before they eat. The one guy they haven't shown yet, but three of them, they sit down, they pray, they thank God. When they finally do get a fish after maybe 2 days of not eating, that's the first thing they do. Thank God. Thank you for this. This is wonderful. And they really start to become appreciative of the blessings that are given to them. And I wonder if maybe that's a part of my problem, maybe our problem, is we have so much handed to us that we start to think or start to forget how many blessings are really in our lives. It's so easy just to go down to Giant Eagle and you go to the freezer case and say, there you go, I got chicken. What if you had to raise that chicken? What if you had to catch that fish? I think we would be more open to the blessings and thanking God for what He's given us than just walking to a freezer case and saying, well, there's supper. Big difference. God wants our love. He wants us to be thankful for what we've given Him. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take beautiful buildings. We could be over in that picnic area right now praising Him and He'd be happy. I'd have to look back through the recesses of my mind. You say, Pastor, what's some of the greatest gifts you've ever been given for your birthday? I like the homemade cards. You know, Hallmark has nothing on a card that has been made by your kids on an early morning, and maybe the verse or the little words there are just, you're great, Dad. Boy, that's better than any little rhyming poem that could be written with a little picture of little two-stick people. That's pretty nice. That's the best card. It's probably some of the best presents. Or little things made in school. It's not the expensive things. And God knows, just as I said, how difficult it is for us to have this change of heart. So He sent His Son as not only an example, but He sent Him for us. This is the way your heart should behave. Did Jesus think twice about going to the cross? Now He did in Gethsemane say, if this cup can be taken from me, do it, but not my will, your will. And He went willfully. So I don't think there was a second thought. I think He did it because His heart was pure. He sacrificed Himself so that we might live. And then sent the Holy Spirit and said, you know, see that heart? Change it. Change it. Change that heart of stone into a heart that lives for the Lord. You know, if we get up and we come to church on a Sunday morning because we feel we're obligated, it's not the right heart. Or if we give in the offering plate because we feel obligated, oh, I got to do this. Now, the widow put in all she had, the two little mites, and that was good. It comes from our heart. It pours out of us. And that's what today's lesson is about. Paul writes in Ephesians, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. For it is not by works, so that no one can boast, but it is the gift of God. This is the end result. It's a heart thing. That's what the Lord desires. So when we pray, let's pray that the Holy Spirit fills us. Let's not put up barriers, but let's pray that the Holy Spirit fills us so that we can have a heart like Christ. He lives within us. We need to just let him take over. Amen.